హరే కృష్ణ వర్ధన మాతజీ దండవత్ పురాణం ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు షీలా ప్రభుపాద్. దిస్ ఇస్ వినితా గంధర్విక దేవిదాసి ఫ్రమ్ కాలేజ్ స్టేషన్ టెక్సస్. వెరీ నైస్ బ్యాక్గ్రౌండ్ మాతజీ. హరి బోల్.
హరి కృష్ణ వినిత గంధర్విక మాతజీ, దండస్ ప్రణామ్. ప్లీజ్ అక్సెప్ట్ మై హంబుల్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్. ఆల్ గోస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. థ్యాంక్ యూ సో మచ్ మాతజీ ఫర్ జాయినింగ్ ద కాల్. హరి కృష్ణ. థ్యాంక్ యూ మాతజీ.
హరే కృష్ణ వర్ధన మాతాజీ, ప్రభుపాద్ అని గురు మహారాజీస్, మై హంబుల్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్ టు ఆల్ ద లిమిటెస్. దిస్ ఇస్ కృష్ణ కుమారి దేవదాస్.
హరే కృష్ణ కృష్ణ కుమారి మాతజీ దండవత్ ప్రణామ్. ప్లీజ్ అక్సెప్ట్ మై హంబుల్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్. ఆల్ గోస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. థ్యాంక్ యూ సో మచ్ మాతజీ ఫర్ జాయినింగ్ ద కాల్. హరే కృష్ణ.
హరి కృష్ణ వర్తన మాతాజీ, దండవత్ ప్రణామ్ టు యూ అండ్ ఆల్ వైష్ణవ. శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద శ్రీ గురుదేవ్ కి జయ.
హరే కృష్ణ వృంద గోపిక మాతజీ దండవత్ ప్రణామ్. ప్లీజ్ అక్సెప్ట్ మై హంబుల్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్. ఆల్ గోస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. థ్యాంక్ యూ సో మచ్ మాతజీ ఫర్ జాయినింగ్ ద కాల్. హరి కృష్ణ.
హరే కృష్ణ మాతాజీ దండవత్ ప్రణామ్. సావిత్రి సుబ్రహ్మణ్యం ఫ్రమ్ చెన్నై మాతాజీ.
హరే కృష్ణ సావిత్రి మాతాజీ దండవత్ ప్రణామ్. ప్లీజ్ అక్సెప్ట్ మై హంబుల్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్. ఆల్ గోస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. థ్యాంక్ యూ సో మచ్ మాతాజీ ఫర్ జాయినింగ్ ద కాల్. హరే కృష్ణ. ఇస్ ఎనీబడి ఎల్స్ వుడ్ లైక్ టు ఇంట్రడ్యూస్ దెమ్సెల్వ్స్?
హరే కృష్ణ మాతాజీ, సుధాకర్ జాయినింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ సౌదీ అరేబియా.
హరే కృష్ణ సుధాకర్ ప్రభుజీ దండవత్ ప్రణామ్. ప్లీజ్ అక్సెప్ట్ మై హంబుల్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్. ఆల్ గోస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. థ్యాంక్ యూ సో మచ్ ప్రభుజీ ఫర్ జాయినింగ్ ద కాల్. హరే కృష్ణ. మాతాజీ ప్రభుజీ ఆల్రెడీ జాయిన్, కెన్ వి స్టార్ట్ మాతాజీ ఆర్ షిల్ బి వెయిట్ ఫర్ సమ్ టైం?
నో నో మాతాజీ, విల్ స్టార్ట్. ఇట్స్ ప్రాబ్లమ్. ఐ జస్ట్ సా ప్రభుజీ. గివ్ మీ మినిట్ మాతాజీ, ఐ యామ్ గివింగ్ హిమ్ కో హోస్ట్. యా
ష్యూర్ మాతాజీ. Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Balaram Shakti Prabhu. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on this topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 2nd chapter, verse number 24. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvach Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us on this morning and enlightening on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll hand out the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Prabhu, you have to unmute.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaurava Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. సో విఆర్ డిస్కసింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద 7th క్యాంటో 2nd చాప్టర్ 24th వర్స్ అండ్ ఇన్ దిస్ సెక్షన్ హిరణ్యకశిపు ఇస్ ట్రయింగ్ టు స్పీక్ విత్ హిస్ ఫ్యామిలీ మెంబర్స్ అండ్ ట్రయింగ్ టు కన్సోల్ దెమ్ బికాస్ Hiranyaksha, his own brother, has been killed by Varahadev. So he is, everyone is very upset. They are lamenting. So at this point, Hiranyakashipu speaks something which looks very, very similar to the 2nd chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And such genuine philosophy he speaks actually, which is quite astounding. So let's read the verse. Read the translation and purport and see what we can learn from today. Okay. Evam gunair brahmyamane manasya vikalappuman yati tat samyatam badre hyalingo lingavaniva. translation. In the same way, O my gentle mother, when the mind is agitated by the movements of the modes of material nature, the living entity, although freed from all the different phases of the subtle and gross bodies, thinks that he has changed from one condition to another. So this is, you know, you can, you know, there are equivalent verses in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, everywhere. You know, this is like perfect philosophy of the difference between body and soul. The nature of soul is also very perfectly presented. Asangohi ayam purushah. The living entity has nothing to do with material body, whether it is gross or subtle. But still, yaya sammohito jivo atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute anartam tatkritam cha abhipadyate. As what he has spoken now is literally the bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranite amale. It is the ripened realization of Srila Vyasadev after hearing the instructions of Srila Narada Muni, which is what gave rise to the manifestation of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Hiranyakashipu is so casually speaking, you know, such elevated, you can't say realization, but definitely some, I mean, we don't even know if it is his understanding. We will discuss about it. But anyways, that's what he says here. And Srila Prabhupada's purport, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yasyatma buddhi kunape tridatuke swadik kalatradishu bhauma ijyadihi yat tirtha buddhi salilena karhichit janeshu abhigneshu sayeva gokara. A human being who identifies the body made of the three elements as the self, who considers the byproducts of the body to be his kinsmen, who considers the land of his birth worshipable, and who goes to a place of pilgrimage simply to bathe rather than to meet men of transcendental knowledge there, is to be considered like a cow or an ass. Although Hiranyakashipu was a great demon, he was not as foolish as the population of the modern world. Hiranyakashipu had clear knowledge of the spirit soul and the subtle and gross bodies. But now we are so degraded that everyone, including the exalted scientists, philosophers and other leaders, is under the bodily conception of life, which is condemned in the Shastras. Sa eva gokaraha. Such persons are nothing but cows and asses. Hiranyakashipu advised his family members that although the gross body of his brother Hiranyaksha was dead and they were aggrieved because of this, they should not lament for the great soul of Hiranyaksha, who had already attained his next destination. Atma, the spirit soul, is always unchained. Avikala Puman. We are spirit souls, but when carried away by mental activities, Manodharma, we suffer from so-called material conditions of life. This generally happens to non-devotees. Haravabhaktasya kuto mahatgunaha. Non-devotees may possess exalted material qualities, but because they are foolish, they have no good qualifications. The designations of the conditioned soul in the material world are decorations of the dead body. Apranasyaiva dehasya mandanam lokaranjanam. Often Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse. The conditioned soul has no information of the spirit and its exalted existence beyond the effects of material condition. So this is Srila Prabhupada's purport. So let's do a quick recap of what has happened in the chapter till now. Narada Muni, while narrating to Yudhishthir Maharaj about how Parikshit, how Hiranyakashipu became inimical to his own son, Prahlad Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj becomes very curious. How could a father become so inimical to his own son that he actually, became ready to kill his own son? So even amongst demons, this is very strange. So the second chapter describes how Hiranyakashipu, in grief for his brother's death, engaged in destruction of dharma and pacified his friends by relating a history, giving instructions on knowledge. So Hiranyakashipu addresses the demons. We will not go over the verses. We will directly read the translation. So he says, O Yudhishthir, when Lord Vishnu in the form of Varaha killed Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu was afflicted with anger and grief. So on one hand, he is going to tell his own kinsmen, do not lament because soul is eternal, body is temporary. You should not be lamenting for the temporary body of Hiranyaksha and all that. But now, they should not lament, but he is very much justified in becoming angry. It's not that Hiranyakashipu is succumbing to his anger, but he is very much convinced. Because anger is an urge. When we become angry because of our own conditioning, it is a temporary urge which comes and goes. And when it goes, we lament, oh, why did I become angry? It was not right, the other person was right. So even though sometimes we may become very much as devotees, when we become afflicted with, due to bodily identification, when we become angry, at least in our saner moments, when our head is cool, we understand that this is not right. I should not be lamenting in this way. I should not become angry in this way. But this is not the case of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu is convinced. He has a total philosophy to back. So even though he is quoting Shastra, but he does not actually believe in this Shastra. So he is using the Shastra just as a tool to, sort of pacify his kinsmen. He himself does not believe in this philosophy completely. Whatever is, utility is the principle. So he is willing to utilize even a philosophy which he does not believe in. But it is quite useful for the purpose. So therefore, these demons, they do not actually have faith in the conclusions of the Shastras. They may use some words of the Shastras in a very utilitarian sense to accomplish their immediate purposes. But in real sense, they don't trust the Shastras. In the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna talks about, divine and demoniac qualities, if you see, there are three levels in which he speaks about divine and demoniac qualities. So in the beginning of the 16th chapter, Krishna says, what is divine? Abhayam sattva samshuddhir jnana yoga vivasthitihi danam damascha yajnascha swadhyayastapa arjavam ahimsa satyam akrodha anshavan. He describes about the divine qualities. And what is demoniac? Dambo, darpo, abhimanascha, krodha, parushyamevacha, ajnanam chapi chatasya, partha sampadamasuri. Pride, arrogance, conceit, harsh speech. These are demoniac. So this is one level. So level one, when he says, is qualities. Okay. But then, Arjuna thinks, well, if this is what defines a demoniac person, then often I catch myself displaying all these qualities. dambha, darpa, abhimanam, krodha, parushyam, evachan. Maybe I must be demoniac then. Then Krishna says, oh no, no, no. Daivim sampad vimokshaya nibandaya surimata. Mashicha sampadam daivim abhijatosi pandava. He says, oh, don't worry, Arjuna, you are born with divine qualities. Or divine nature. Now, one may wonder how. Then, Krishna describes an even more deeper understanding of what differentiates divine and demoniac. He says, it is not just qualities. Qualities may follow, but qualities are secondary. But what it is value system. You know, a world view or a value system. You know, what is demoniac worldview? Asatyam apratishtante jagat ahuranishwaram aparaspara sambhutam kimanyat kama haitukam. In the middle chapter, he describes the demoniac worldview. They say, oh, there is no controller. Everything is happening by itself. There is no one controlling. Ultimately, lust is the real cause of the manifestation of this material universe and all that. You know, these kind of worldview, they are convinced of this. Even though sometimes they may exhibit external qualities which are very pleasant. And Prabhupada also mentions this in this purport. Harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna. The good qualities seen in a foolish person are not really good qualities like that, Prabhupada says. So a more foundational difference is their worldview. You may have a very, very soft-spoken, gentle atheist. And you may find a very harsh, you can say, theist. Because a worldview is born out of one's faith. Harshness and other such qualities are one's swabhava. One may have a rajoguni or a tamoguni swabhava, but one may have a worldview which is theistic. So it is this theistic worldview which defines, which differentiates a divine and demoniac person. It is not just the quality. So it gives a deeper understanding of what differentiates divine and demoniac. But then, towards the end of the chapter, he gives an even deeper understanding of what differentiates divine and demoniac. He says, it is the pramana. So, he says, tasmat yas shastra vidhim utsrijya vartate kamakaratah nasa siddhim avapnoti nasukam na param gatim. He says, O Arjuna, one who rejects the conclusions of the scriptures, vartate kamakaratah, and he acts whimsically, nasa siddhim avapnoti nasukam na param gatim. He cannot attain any perfection, nor happiness, nor the ultimate goal. Tasmad, therefore, tasmad shastram pramanam te karya karya vivastitav. Gyatva shastra vidanoktam karma kartumiha arhasi. O Arjuna, therefore, one should understand that shastras should be the pramana which decides what should be done, what should not be done. Karya akarya vivastitav. Gyatva shastra vidanoktam karma kartumiha arhasi. Therefore, one should act according to the edicts and instructions of the Shastras. So one who acts by accepting the Shastras as the Pramana, he is divine. But one who whimsically rejects the conclusions of the Shastras, he is demoniac. So here, Hiranyakashipu, he does not really... He knows, he has knowledge of what the Shastras say, but he does not really believe it. But sometimes he may use it in a very utilitarian way. So that's why Krishna says, अज्ञश्च अश्रद्धदानश्च संशयात्मा विनश्यति नायं लोकोस्ति न परो न सुखं संशयात्मनः. There are three categories of people who do not have faith. Ajna, one who does not know what is there in the Shastra only. And the second is Ashraddha Dana. Ashraddha Dana means he knows what is there, but he does not believe in it. Okay. So that is Ashraddha Dana, which is Hiranyakashipu. Samshayatma. Samshayatma is he believes it, but because of his unfavorable experiences, he has started doubting it. A skeptic. One who has become skeptical due to unfavorable experiences in devotional life or in the application of Shastras due to improper guidance and unfavorable experiences. So this leads to, this is Samshayatma. So, the cynical insider, that is Samshayatma. The Ashraddha Dana is Hiranyakashipu. He knows what is there, but he does not believe in it. So, like for example, one of my aunts, I'm certainly not comparing her with Hiranyakashipu. She is a very wonderful human being. She is double MA in Sanskrit and philosophy, Vaishnava philosophy. And she has studied, not Vaishnava philosophy, philosophy. She has studied Shankaracharya's writings, Vishishtadvaita of Ramanujacharya and everything. You know, she can quote in Sanskrit, what is the argument of Shankaracharya and how Ramanujacharya refutes it and what is the counter argument and everything. And how Ramanujacharya establishes Lord Narayana to be the supreme and everything. But suddenly when she is in deep trouble, she will be like, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, like that. And when she is happy, oh, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, like that. So in one sense, she knows the arguments and counter arguments and how everything. But when it comes to practical worship, it is, Sai Baba, right? So this is, but sometimes they may quote certain things in a very utilitarian way. In a very utilitarian way. So here is Hiranyakashipu, who does not accept Shastras as Pramana, but he will quote from Shastra when there is a utility for it. Okay, when it can be utilized for pacifying people, he will accept it. Okay. So in order to explain the cause of hating Prahlad was hatred of the Lord, first Narada explains the cause of hatred of the Lord. Why did Hiranyakashipu hate Prahlad? Because Prahlad loved the Lord. So what's the problem? The problem was that Hiranyakashipu hated the Lord. Why did Hiranyakashipu hate the Lord? That is the story that we are going to tell now. So Hiranyaksha was killed by Varahadev, Lord Narayana in the form of Varaha, and Hiranyakashipu became too much aggrieved, so he started. And when Prahlad Maharaj started taking shelter of that same Lord Narayana, he became inimical to his own son. So filled with rage and biting his lips, Hiranyakashipu, gazing at the smoky sky with eyes that blazed in anger, he spoke, exhibiting his terrifying teeth, his fierce glance and frowning eyebrows. Frightening to see, he took up his trident and began speaking to the assembled demons. He said, O Danavas, Daityas, O Dvimurda, Trayaksha, Shambara, and so on. All of you, please hear me and then act without delay. He says, सपत्नैर् घातितः शूद्रैर् भ्राता मे दयितसुहृत् पार्ष्णिग्राहेण हरिणा समेनापि उपधावनैः. क्षुद्रैर् सपत्नैः, सपत्नैर् मीन्स् एनिमीस्, क्षुद्रैर् इन्सिग्निफिकेण्ट्, मै इन्सिग्निफिकेण्ट् एनिमीस्, हू आर् दे, उपधावनैः देवतास् हरिणा, दे हाव् नौ जायिण्ड् वित् लार्ड् हरि. And who is this Hari? Samena api. This Hari is supposed to be equal to everyone. He very proudly says, Samoham sarva bhuteshu. He is supposed to be equal, but he has given up his equality. And what he has done? Parshni grahena ghatita. Parshni grahena ghatita means backstabbing, unfairly killing, in a very unjust way, not following the rules of military science, military rules. Parshnigrahen means from behind they have attacked my brother, me suhrit daitah bhrata, my very dear friend and brother Hiranyaksha, they have killed. So, this Vishnu, who was supposed to be, who claims himself to be very equal to all, he has sided with the devatas out of greed. So, which means the Lord has given up his godness. So, therefore, I am justified to, you know, kill him. Upadhavanaihi, because he has become very, very much attached to their worship. He has become very much attracted and he has become dependent on their worship. So then, he says, Tasya tyakta swabhavasya ghriner maya vanaukasah bhajantam bhajamanasya balasyehava astiratmanah matshula binna grivasya bhurina rudirenavai asrit priyam tarpayishye bhrataram me gatavyatah. So now that he has established a justification for, you know, wanting to kill the Supreme Lord, he is building upon that justification. He says that tyakta tasya swabhavasya tyakta, his Lord Vishnu has given up his swabhava of being neutral because of his greed, because he is attached to this puja la pratishta, which these devatas are giving to him. So therefore he has given up his neutral nature. So even though he was shining with this wonderful quality of neutrality, maya vana okasaha, now he has become just a vana okasaha, wild animal under the control of maya. He has also become under the control of Maya. He has become a wild animal under the control of Maya. Bhajamanas, bhajantam bhajamanas. He has accepted the nature of an ordinary person. Bhajantam. He has accepted the nature, bhajamanas, of an ordinary person. Balasya iva astiratmanah. Astira atmanah. Unsteady mind. And you see, how he is acting unsteadily like a child. You give a chocolate to the child and say, and ask him to do any stupid thing, the child will do. Even though as human beings, you know, such actions are, you know, one should not be acting in that way. But because a child is very asthira atmana. Yes, a child has very unsteady mind. Therefore he acts. When you give a chocolate to the child will act in any way you want because the child is very unsteady in his mind. Similarly, the Lord has become astiratmana, balasya eva. He has given up his nature. One accepts God because of his godliness. He has given up his godliness. A very important aspect of that godliness is equality, impartiality. He has given up that impartiality, which means he has given up his godhood, godliness, So there is every reason to attack him and kill him. Gatam vyataha, relieving my pain, tarpayishye me bhatram, I will satisfy my brother, Asripriyam, who was very much fond of blood, bhurina rudirena vai, by the profuse blood which will flow out of the body of the Supreme Lord. And why would blood come out of the body of the Supreme Lord? Matshula bhinna grievasya. Matshula, my trident, bhinna, severed, griva, head. When his head is severed by my shula, by my trishul, my trident, you know, he will die. And blood will come, and my brother is very fond of blood. I will satisfy him by giving him this blood. Of course, you know, like this he speaks, and there are alternative meanings which our acharyas give. I will not go into detail about this. You know, and then he says that the devatas whose life is Vishnu will wither away. When cheating Vishnu is dead, just as branches wither away when the root is cut. Okay. So this is, see, he is going to now quote all this Dehinosmin Yata Dehe Kaumaram Yavanam Jara type of verses, which is as it is conclusions of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, etc. But see his understanding. He says, the devatas whose life is Vishnu will wither away when Vishnu is dead, just as when the branches are, just as when the root is cut, the branches will wither away. So he, after knowing the words of the Vedas, he still thinks that Lord Vishnu can be killed. He is convinced of it. So, and he says that, while I am engaged in killing Lord Vishnu, go down to the planet Earth. So he's instructing his followers. Go down to planet Earth, which is flourishing due to Brahmana's austerity and Kshatriya's strength. Destroy all the people engaged in austerity, sacrifice, Vedic study, vows and charity. So while I will take care of Vishnu, you go to planet Earth, and wherever the Brahmanas are engaged in austerities and Kshatriyas are engaged in giving protection to them, destroy all of that. Destroy austerity, sacrifice, Vedic study, vows, charity, everything. And Vishnu, he says, Lord Vishnu has his roots in the activities of the Brahmanas. Okay. So Lord Vishnu has his roots in the activities of the Brahmanas. He is sacrificed the embodiment of Dharma, the shelter of Dharma, and the shelter of the Devatas, Sages, Pitrus, and all beings. So therefore, Hiranyakashipu has concluded that when all these things are stopped, Vishnu will die, or at least he'll become very weak. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. So he is bhokta of yagya, means bhokta gets nourishment from the yagya. So which means if you stop the yagya, the bhokta will not get his bhogya, his object of enjoyment. And when he stops getting it, he will become malnourished. Then I'll be able to very easily kill. So see, at least he is knowledgeable enough to understand that the yagya book is the Supreme Lord. But you are applying material logic. You are applying material logic to understand transcendental subject matter. Right? So that is why there are, you know, achintyaha kaluye bhava natam starkena yojaye. So transcendental subject matter cannot be understood by material logic. So therefore, there are two things. One is Shastra and Shastra Yukti. Yukti means logic. We may know Shastras, but one may not necessarily know the Shastric logic. What is the logic of the Shastras? So here is Hiranyakashipu, who is quoting Shastra, but he does not know Shastra Yukti, the logic of the Shastras. So many times, as devotees, we may also be engaged, especially when we derive lessons from various pastimes, especially when we are deriving lessons which the pastime itself may not necessarily communicate, which means the acharyas are not communicating it. There is very likely chance that we may quote the Shastras, but we may not apply Shastra Yukti there. That is why Srila Rupa Goswami, in defining a Uttamadhikari, he says, Shastre Yuktau cha Nipuna, Sarvata Drida Nischayaha, Prauda Shraddhodhikariyaha, Sabhakta Uttamomata. So, he talks about a Uttamadhikari to be one who is not just proficient in Shastra, but he is proficient in Shastra Yukti, the logic of the Shastra, the conclusions. So here is Hiranyakashipu, who is going to quote Shastras, but he does not know the logic of the Shastras. Okay, the essential conclusions. He has understood the Lord is Yajna Purusha, he is Yajna book, but he is applying his material logic there to understand this. Oh, just like I get nourishment from food, if food is stopped, I become malnourished, I become weak, then very easily I can be defeated. So if the Supreme Lord is Yajna book, he is Tapo book. If Yajna is stopped, if Tapasya is stopped, then what will happen? He will not get his nourishment. He will become malnourished, then I can very easily defeat him. This is his logic. So, but what he does not understand is that the Lord is not that kind of person. Janma karma cha me divyam. His birth and activities are transcendental. That's why what is that? Martyam annam yadatyagat. Bhagavatam says, and Purusha Sukta also says. The Lord, yes, no doubt, is the bhokta of that yajna, but he accepts it purely for the benefit of the person who performs the sacrifice. He does not gain any nourishment from that. Anyways, but this is his logic. So he says, go wherever there are cows and brahmanas, study of the Vedas and activities of Varnashrama, burn the cities and cut down the trees. Okay. And the demons, being very fond of evil, Kadana Priyaha, they took Hiranyakashipu's instructions on their heads, Shirasa Adaya Bhartra Nirdesha. You know, they, just like Bharat Maharaj carried the slippers of Lord Ramachandra on his head, they followed, they carried the, these demons carried the instructions of Hiranyakashipu on their head, with great respect, and began persecuting the citizens. The demons set on fire to the cities, set fire to the cities, villages, pasturing grounds, flower gardens, etc. And some of the demons took shovels and broke down the bridges, the protective walls and gates of the cities. Some took axes and began cutting the trees that were producing fruits. Some of the demons took firebrands and set fire to the residential quarters of the citizens. When all the people were disturbed repeatedly by the followers of Hiranyakashipu, the devatas, not receiving the results of sacrifice, left the heavenly planets and, unobserved by the demons, began wandering on earth. So then, of course, the devatas started becoming affected by that, but the Supreme Lord does not. So after performing the death rites of his brother, grieving Hiranyakashipu consoled his nephews. So he said, O king, Hiranyakashipu judging time and place, Deshakalagya. He understood at this stage, Deshakalagya is utilized not in a very glorifying way. In this, this here, Deshakalagya just indicates that he is very crooked. Even though he does not trust the conclusions of the Shastras, but he is utilizing them. Utility is the principle. Judging time and place with sweet words, spoke to his nephews, his nephews and also his mother, Rushabhanu, and his own mother. Rushabhanu is the wife of Hiranyaksha, Diti is his own mother. They are all grieving for the loss of Hiranyaksha, and he speaks. Hiranyakashipu says, "Oh, my dear mother, sister-in-law, and nephews, you should not lament for the death of the great hero. For a hero's death in front of his enemy is glorious and desirable." So, this is what Krishna tells Arjuna, right? So, to die, Atova prapsasi swargam jitvava bokshase mahim. And in other verses also he says, to die in front of the enemy is glorious. If you die on the battlefield, while fighting, you attain swarga. It is very glorious. You are rewarded for that. And he says, persons are brought together to live in one place according to karma, and they are taken away by karma. Just as living entities gather at a watering hole and then depart. So in that way, you should not be lamenting, because the living entities come together by karma, they are taken apart by karma. So you should not lament. And this is just after he has instructed his own followers to go and destroy everything. And it's not a momentary vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udaropastha vegam. This is not a vega. For devotees, these are vegas. Yeah, internally they know that, they should not be engaging, this kind of activity is not appropriate. But the force of the conditioning pushes them and makes them very incapable of overcoming those urges. As Arjuna says, Ata kena prayuktoyam papam charati purushah anichanna pivarshneya baladiva niyojita. What is pushing me to act, even though I don't act in this way, even though I don't desire to act in this way? Anichan, I don't have icha. But still, someone is pushing you like that. And then he says, again, the Atma is eternal, without decay, it is pure, capable of going to all planets, experiences life everywhere, and is different from the body. By its ignorance, the Atma accepts for itself a subtle body in order to accept and reject various gross bodies. Wow, this is perfect. Dehinosmi nitadehe kaumaram evanam jaha antavanta ime deha nityasyoktaha sharirinaha, and so on. So many, nitya sarvagatastanur achaloyam sanatanaha, like that. All these understanding about the difference between body and soul, the nature of body, the nature of soul, everything he is saying, actually. And then he is giving some very powerful analogies to explain this. Because of the movements of the water, the trees on the bank of a river, when reflected on the water, seem to move. So, when the water moves, the reflections on the water moves. Similarly, when the eyes move because of some mental derangement, the land appears to move. So, in the same way, Icha, dvesha, sukham, dukkham, sangatas, chetana, driti. Eta kshetram samasena savikaram udahritam. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, this Icha, dvesha, sukha, dukkha, all these things are they belong to the transformations of the kshetra, of the body. But when the living entity identifies with the body, then he thinks he is also undergoing all those transformations. So same thing, actually, such, he is giving literally Bhagavatam analogies. So tree does not move, but the reflection, when the water moves, the reflection of the tree on the water moves. But if someone thinks the reflection to be the real tree, then they will think that the tree itself is moving. Similarly, Iccha, Dvesha, Sukham, Dukkham, all these things are transformations of the gross and subtle body. But if one identifies with the gross and subtle body, they think that they themselves are also experiencing those transformations. Right? So today's verse. Evam gunair brahmyamane manasya vikala puman. Avikala puman. So puman is avikala, pure. So, yati tat samyatam badre hyalingo lingavaniva. Oh, my dear gentle mother, when the mind, evam manasi, gunaihi brahmyamane, when the mind is agitated by the movements of the gunas, and the living entity who is identifying with the mind, which is agitated by the movement of the gunas, so the living entity, although pure, alingaha, he is not identical with the subtle body, yati tat samyatam, the living entity takes on the qualities of the mind, or imagines to take on the qualities of the mind. Lingavaniva, as if he were the subtle body. This is what he says. So, now this is the argument presented by Hiranyakashipu here. And in the purport of this particular verse, Srila Prabhupada very beautifully brings out this. He quotes this verse. Yasyatma buddhi kunape tridatuke swadik kalatradishu bhoma ijyadi yas tirta buddhi salilena karhichit janeshu abhigyeshu sayeva gokara. So, here Prabhupada is quoting this verse by mentioning that what is gokara consciousness? One who thinks body to be self to be the body, and whatever belongs to us, one thinks that it is kalatra adishu, wife, bank balance, husband, etc. And what is worshipable? He thinks that one's place of birth is worshipable. And what is a place of pilgrimage? Yes, tirtha buddhi. What is a place of pilgrimage? Salile. A water body where I can go and take bath and wash away all my sins. Like that he thinks. This is quoted. So, I will just take this verse and let's try to explore this verse. There is a very beautiful illumination on this particular verse which is given in Jaiva Dharma. I think this is the 8th chapter or something like that. Talks about Nitya Dharma and Vaishnava behavior. Okay. So, in this particular chapter, there is a question which arises, which asks, how do the Vaishnavas behave with other people? What is Vaishnava's behavior with others? Okay. So, in response to this, it is mentioned that we will read, and there is a very nice illumination on this particular verse. We will try to understand this. Those who have embraced this path of bhakti are divided into three groups. Kanishta, neophyte, Madhyama, intermediate, and Uttama, topmost. The first of these types is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Kanishta Adhikari are, here this is a Prakrita Bhakta. So Bhagavatam's Kanishta Adhikari, Bhagavatam's definition of a Kanishta Adhikari is not even a devotee. He is a Prakrita Bhakta or a materialistic devotee. So what is this thing? Archayam eva haraye, ujam ya shraddaye hate, natat bhakteshu cha anyeshu sabhakta prakrita smrita. A prakrita or a materialistic devotee does not purposefully study the shastra. I mean, here purposefully, should be taken to mean studying with a purpose. Purposefully means it's not like adamantly refusing to study the shastras. Purposefully means studying with a purpose. That's how we should understand this usage of this word here. A prakrita bhakta does not purposefully study the shastra and try to understand the actual standard of pure devotional service. So which means he does not study the shastras with a purpose of trying to understand what is the conclusion of the shastras, because he is not completely convinced that the shastric guidance is needed for shaping his practices and his goal and anything. Therefore, he does not study. So, archayam eva haraye. So, he worships the deity form. Shraddhaye hate. Pujamya shraddhaye hate. Archayam eva haraye. Pujami hate. So, he performs worship of the deity form. Shraddhaya. With some kind of faith. Natad bhakteshu cha anyeshu. But he does not show respect to the devotees. Sabhakta prakrita smrita. So generally, if you see, this verse is often understood to mean that, now you may be wondering, why am I talking about this in this Yasyatma Buddhi verse? I will tie the loose ends. Give me a few minutes. So, oftentimes it is understood that a Kanishtadhikari is one who respects the deities, but he does not respect the devotees. But this is not a very complete understanding, actually. This is not a very complete understanding. So, a Prakrita Bhakta, he's a materialistic person. So, now my question to you is, you can please raise your hands if you have had this experience. How many of you have experienced devotees who have very good attachment to the deity forms, but are disrespectful towards the devotees? How many of you have observed this? You know, they may worship the deities with respect, but when it comes to devotees, they may not be very respectful. You can just raise your hand.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, I have seen many devotees who come new. They think that we have to respect only Krishna. And others, they don't treat as mamai vamcha jivaloke. So I try to make them understand that if you displease anybody, Krishna will get displeased, because all are children of Krishna. I don't know how to make them understand.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. Okay. So, actually, it is not that Kanishtadhikaris are disrespectful of devotees and Madhyamadhikaris are very respectful of devotees. This is a very preliminary understanding of this verse. Actually, what is the meaning of this is, because you may have a Kanishtadhikari who is very, very respectful towards the devotees. And you may have a Madhyamadhikari who is not so respectful towards the devotees. Okay. But what distinguishes the two is that, let's say, a devotee, a proper devotee, he shows 10 units of respect to devotees. Okay. And he may show 7 units of respect to non-devotees. Okay. But you see, there is a 3-unit differential. Okay, there is a 3-unit differential He is showing 7 units of respect to the non-devotees, but 10 units of respect to the devotees. Whereas a Kanishtadhikari, a very respectful Kanishtadhikari. Okay. So, this is a disrespectful Madhyamadhikari. Okay. A disrespectful Madhyamadhikari. You may see a very respectful Kanishtadhikari. He may show 100 units of respect to devotees and 100 units of respect to non-devotees. Okay. You see, even though he is showing 100 units of respect, but the differential respect is zero. Okay. It is this differential respect which defines or which distinguishes a Kanishtadhikari from a Madhyamadhikari, and it is not the absolute respect itself. So therefore, because respectful nature, harsh nature, these are all born out of swabhava. You may have a Kanishtadhikari who has a very soft sattvic swabhava. You may have a Madhyamadhikari who may have a rajasic swabhava. So if you see a Madhyamadhikari who has a rajasic swabhava, he may be disrespectful. He may be harsh in his speech. But you will see, he will put the devotees, even though he may be disrespectfully treating everyone, but he will still treat the devotees with slightly better respect. Because that conviction to put the devotees on a higher pedestal, that comes from his pure devotional faith, which is born out of Shastras. But this respectful Kanishtadhikari, even though his swabhava is very sattvic, and because of which he is, you know, giving respect comes very naturally to him, but because he does not possess that faith which is born out of Shastras, which is inspiring him to put the devotees on a slightly higher pedestal. So therefore you will see, he will give the same respect to the devotees and non-devotees. So he will not put the devotees on a higher pedestal. So it is the differential respect that distinguishes a Kanishtadhikari from a Madhyamadhikari. It is not respect in itself. So therefore you may find disrespectful Madhyamadhikaris who are, you know, who, of course, by practice of bhakti, gradually they will develop better qualities. You know, they will become more and more respectful. But in progressing more and more, that differential between the respect that he gives for the devotees and non-devotees will increase. So this is something that we need to understand. Anyways, so consequently, he does not show proper respect to advanced devotees. He may, however, follow the regulative principles he has learned from his spiritual master of our family tradition and worship the deity in the temple. He is to be considered as being on the material platform, prakrita, although he is trying to advance in devotional service. Such a person is a bhakta praya or bhakta abhas, a neophyte devotee, for he is but a little enlightened about the Vaishnava philosophy. Little means none. He is not enlightened about the Vaishnava philosophy. One who worships the deity of the Lord with faith, but neither respects the created living creatures of the Lord, nor worships and serves his devotees with devotion, is a prakrita bhakta. Already it has been established that Shraddha or faith is the seed of devotion. To worship the deity of the Lord with Shraddha is certainly bhakti, but without worshipping and serving the devotee of the Lord, one cannot execute Shuddha Bhakti. So he does not have that faith. He may have a favorable swabhava, but he lacks that faith. Faith creates the differential. Faith creates the differential. Okay? And swabhava contributes to the respect itself. Okay? The respect itself comes from swabhava. But the differential, that is contributed by the faith. Okay? So this position of serving the Lord but not his pure devotee can be described as being at best a step inside the portals of the realm of bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam says, now here he quotes, Yasyatma buddhi kunape tridatuke swadhi kalatradishu bhauma ijyatihi. Yat tirtha buddhi salilena karhichit janeshu abhigneshu sayeva gokaraha. So, while oftentimes when Prabhupada quotes this verse, the focus is on the first three lines. Okay. First two and a half lines. Yasyatma buddhi kunape tridatuke swadhikkalatradishu bhauma ijyadi yat tirtha buddhi salile. Okay. False ego is characterized, or ego is characterized by four. Atma buddhi, swabuddhi, ijja buddhi, and tirtha buddhi. Okay. So, for a materialistic person, yasyatma buddhi, who am I? I am this body made of tridhatu. Swabuddhi, what belongs to me? Possessiveness. Kalatra adishu, my wife, my husband, my bank balance, my mother, my father, etc. Ijya buddhi, what is worshipable? Bhauma, the place of my worship is worshipable. Tirtha buddhi, what is a place of pilgrimage? Where there is a auspicious water body in which I can go take bath and wash away all my sins which will cause suffering to me. This is material consciousness. But here, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is quoting this verse by focusing on this last one and a half line. Na karihichit abhigneshu janeshu sayeva gokara. These four words, na karhichit janeshu abhigneshu. Abhigyeshu janeshu means those who know the Supreme Lord. Na karhichit, but never such a person has these four identification with in relationship with the Vaishnavas. Because he puts Vaishnavas on a higher pedestal. So Atma Buddhi, who am I? I am Vaishnavadas. So Buddhi, what belongs to me? Vaishnavas are my only property. Dhana mora Nityananda, Pati mora Gaurachandra, Prana mora Yugala Kishore. Yeah. So, whatever I have, Vaishnavas are my only treasure, they are my only property. Ijya buddhi, what is worshipable? Vaishnava Sangha is worshipable. Tirtha buddhi, what is a place of pilgrimage? A place where Harikatha and Harikirtan is happening is a place of pilgrimage. So, one na karhichit janeshu abhigneshu. One who does not have these four kinds of identification with elevated devotees, sayeva gokara. He is no better than an animal. So, therefore, Srila Prabhupada illuminates the first two and a half lines, but in a different context, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur slightly shifts the light to the focused light to the last line. Na karhichit abhigneshu janeshu That is what distinguishes his reluctance to put the devotees on a higher pedestal, indicates that one has not developed the requisite faith which would characterize him as a Madhyamadhikari or a practicing devotee. Okay, so thank you all very much. It's time. I will stop here. The next session has to stop, has to start. So the Dham glorification session. So we will pause here. We will not have question and answers today.
Prabhuji, Prabhuji, actually that Prabhu is getting late for 15 minutes. We can have a question and answer, or if you have anything more, you can take for 15 minutes, Prabhu.
Okay. So I have the next topic, but I would probably like to pause and see if there are any discussion points on this, what we have discussed now. Then if time permits, we will go to the next topic.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. Yes.
Mother Gay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. You know, Hiranyakashipu, you described him as being Ashwadana, right?
Yeah.
And so I found that he did have enough Shraddha, isn't it, to supplicate Lord Brahma and perform such severe austerities. Wasn't that some level of Shraddha in the Shastra, or no?
Yeah, I mean, you can say he had some faith in those aspects which are not necessarily the conclusions of the Shastra.
Mm-hmm.
So the essential conclusions, the take-home message, you know.
Yeah.
He didn't have the faith in the essential take-home messages of the Shastra.
Yeah, he just picked and chose what was, you know, expedient for him to get what he wanted.
Cherry picking.
You know, one thing I found very interesting about him, though, is that, you know, he was so demoniac, yet he seemed to have had so much affection for his brother, you know? It's like you wouldn't put...
Good you brought out this point. I wanted to touch on this point. Well, there is a very very kind of extreme understanding about the demons, as if they don't possess any affection or anything like that. It's not like that. They have a lot of affection. Everyone appreciates a sense of warmth. Even animals do. And actually the demons are supposed to possess a slightly elevated consciousness even compared to the animals. So definitely there is appreciation of, you know, affection and all those things. But just that, when those for whom they have that affection, when they start challenging something which is even more dearer, you know, their own body or something like that, then they don't think twice, you know. Hiranyakashipu was literally with tears in his eyes. He was kind of embracing Prahlad Maharaj with all affection. But when he turned, when he started glorifying Lord Vishnu, immediately he became ready to kill him. So the thing is, even in the most self-centered, conceited people of this world, you know, there is affection and other such things you do see in them, but it's all very fleeting, transient. When their ego is touched, then immediately that affection vanishes like that.
Yeah, so I was thinking that the difference is that, you know, since both asuras, they both have affection, but the difference is that the asuras, their affection is like solely on the bodily platform, no?
The devatas they may be in the bodily platform only, not necessarily, because even though some of them may theoretically understand, but when they may have problems practically applying it. Some of them may actually, even theoretically also, they may be in a very mere pious platform. They may have very basic understanding.
Yeah, but so then even them, if, I mean, what I'm saying is that as long as your affection is on the bodily platform, it is still very transient. It's not any kind of deep thing, whether you're Devata or Asura.
Yeah, true.
I just want to, one final thing, Prabhu, I just wanted to confirm that if you don't have that differential esteem or value for devotees, then you are disqualified as Majjhima, is it?
Yeah. I mean, here, Bhagavatam's Madhyam Adhikari is Sadhaka. You know, a basic Sadhaka. So, if one is unconvinced of giving that differential respect towards devotees, he is not even qualified to be a Sadhaka.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, so Sadhaka, it's not enough to be Sadhaka to be Majjhima. You have to also have that differential.
Faith. Differential faith. Respect. Differential respect, yes.
Yeah, so just being Sadhaka is not enough.
Yeah, I mean, of course, here we are getting a little bit confused with the terminologies. When I say Sadhaka, I am talking about practitioners of pure devotional service according to the guidelines of the Shastra.
Yes, but if you are a practitioner, according to the guidelines of the Shastra, and you don't have that differential respect, then even though you are Sadhaka...
No. So such a person is not... such a person's faith is not considered to be faith which is born out of Shastras.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu.
That is considered to be sentimental faith, actually.
Okay. Thank you.
Lalitangi Radha
Mataji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranams. Thank you so much for your wonderful, range of sessions, giving us so many different aspects of Krishna consciousness. So, Prabhuji, one common question from this Asyatma Buddhi verse is why Krishna is comparing to a cow?
Cow means, we don't have to take, why cow? I mean, cow is very sacred, but nevertheless, it's an animal only. So, therefore, definitely there are, animal tendencies only in the cow. So, of course, we do worship the cow, but nevertheless, it's an animal only. So we have to see the context in which, it is used. Mm-hmm. So, for example, in an Indian household, if someone is not studying, then they will say that, I will get you a few cows. You go and graze the cows. It's not that they are demeaning, Goraksha here, but there is a context to it. So it's a gokara is not to in any way to demean cow, but it is just to indicate that it's animal consciousness. That's what it means. Mm.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Sugakar Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Yes. Dhanavad Pranam. Prabhu, Hiranyakashipu, when Hiranyaksha died, he was telling about Bhagavad Gita, all this shloka and everything. So he knows everything actually. So he knows Krishna is the Supreme Lord, then why he's having the Shatrutva Bhav? No? He says, don't worry, he's not the body, he's the soul. So like that, I think I heard in Ramayana also, Ravana was giving a big bhashan to Kumbhakarna's wife. So these people are all jnanis and they're not applying in their life. What is the difference? Why they are not able to apply when they have learned?
because they don't have faith. They just, he's using this only in a very utilitarian
others. Way. There is others.
Yeah, utility is the principle. Oh, the Shastras say this, even though I don't believe in it, but I can use it to, you know,
talk,
pacify others.
So that means many Asuras will know Bhagavatam nicely, Chaitanya Charitamritam, but still Asurik Bhava will. Won't they read and they change the mind? Change of heart doesn't happen by reading not, scriptures.
It is not change of heart, because heart, see, change of nature can happen, but change of faith can happen only in the association of devotees. So, if a person with good faith, even though he may have a very rajoguni tamoguni nature, asurik means rajoguni tamoguni nature. If he has a rajoguni tamoguni nature, but devotional faith, then by taking shelter of the Shastras, his nature will get transformed. But if someone has demoniac faith, even though he may know some verses of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, that will not transform.
And also they don't chant.
They may chant also sometimes.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Induleka Karunamati.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much for this, for summarizing all the verses till now and for getting into the details of verse 24. Prabhuji, I had a question on how you were talking about the difference between the Kanishta Adhikari and Madhyam Adhikari. And you were saying it is based on their differential respect towards the advanced devotees.
Devotees in general.
Devotees. Okay, and but then when you go from Madhyam Adhikari, and I was really hoping that you would continue further because it would give us a little more clarity. When we go from a Madhyam Adhikari to an Uttam Adhikari, we see that an Uttam Adhikari treats everyone the same way. So is it that a Madhyam Adhikari can never become an Uttam Adhikari because of the way in which they kind of differentiate? Can you please?
That vision is born out of love. So, Uttamadhikari's inability to differentiate is an ornament of that Uttamadhikari. It is born out of genuine love. So, Atmavan Manyate Jagat. So, one who possesses love, he sees that everyone possesses that love. So when a Madhyam Adhikari becomes, when he gains that prema, and when that prema permeates his heart, then he sees everyone as possessing that prema. So that inability to discriminate is a byproduct of love, and it's not a byproduct of, you know, a material lack of discrimination. So, therefore, a Kanishta Adhikari cannot discriminate because of ignorance. A Madhyam Adhikari can discriminate due to knowledge born out of devotional faith. An Uttam Adhikari, when that faith matures into prema, because of that prema, he cannot discriminate, and that lack of discrimination is actually an ornament to that devotee, and it's not a black spot on that devotee.
So as the thank you so much, Prabhuji. So as the faith in the Lord increases, our faith in the people around us and everything around us also increases, and because of that, we are able to see them all as the same. You introduced prema, but prema is for the Lord, right?
Yeah. So when you have prema in your heart, then the person sees that every other living entity is also having that prema in their heart.
Hmm.
So, when the queens of Vrindavan, when the queens of Vrindavan, sorry, when the queens of Dwaraka are having water sports with Krishna, this is in the last chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Suddenly, late at night, so even when Krishna is there with them, they are feeling, intense feelings of separation from Krishna. And suddenly, they hear the sound of a kurari bird. And they think, oh, kurari bird, you are crying. We know why you are crying. You are crying because you are feeling separation from Krishna. Krishna was here all the while, and suddenly, he must have disappeared with one of his beloved consorts. And because you are unable to have his darshan, in feeling separation from Krishna, you are crying. Even though that kurari bird must have been crying, being separated from the male kurara bird. But they are able to see that prema in the heart of the kurari bird, even though that prema is not there. But they are able to see because their heart in itself is permeated with prema. So therefore, that way, people who are saturated with love, they see everyone possessing that love. So they think, oh, he is also Uttamadhikar. He is also a devotee. He is also a devotee. He is also a devotee like that. But that is due to their heart being saturated with that love. Like that.
Okay, thank you so much, Prabhuji. When you gave the example, you made it very clear. Thank you so much. Dandat Pranam.
Hare Krishna. Keshav Priya Madhavila.
Hare Krishna, presented with pronouns. Prabhuji, this definition of divine and demoniac people you gave from 16th chapter, Prabhuji, of Bhagavad Gita, one who follows Shastra is divine and one who neglects Shastra is demoniac. But actually, this divine and demoniac, is there multiple definition, Prabhuji? Because here, Hiranyakashipu seems to know some Shastric codes and he seems to follow certain principles of Shastra, but he refuses some. And when his ego is touched,
he's not following any Shastra here. He is quoting something in a very, you can say, utilitarian way. He himself does not believe in it. But his purpose is to pacify, the relatives, that's all. Like, for example, when a small child is crying and very adamant, the mother may say, oh, that thief is coming, I will put you inside a gunny bag and hand you over to the thief, like that. But there is no thief coming. The mother does not, she knows that there is no thief coming. But she knows that, saying this will pacify the child, So, that kind of utilitarian usage of some verses, that's all.
Okay, Prabhuji, because we see in Govardhan Leela, when Indra's ego is touched, he also behaving demoniacally, that he even knowing very well that Vrijavasis are so dear to Krishna, he even decides to kill them, Prabhuji, by devastation, right? So being divine, like king of heaven, Devata, he is behaving.
That is,
so certain things.
That is just his swabhava. Once Krodha Vegam gets subdued, he is willing to go and fall at the feet of Surabhi also. And eventually pacify. So that is why we are also like that, and when Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, when these urges go up, we become uncontrolled and we commit offenses, we do this thing, that thing. But when it gets subdued, then we understand our mistakes. Because we know that we acted in a way which is inappropriate to the conclusions of the Shastras. But for one who is not, one who does not believe in those Shastras, so it is not just the urge of anger. He is convinced that he is waging the right battle against his enemy. He is convinced that, the Lord is his enemy. So, but for Indra, it's the momentary thing. once he comes back to his senses, then he is willing to go and fall at the feet of Surabhi, go and fall at the feet of Krishna, like that.
So these people are learning Shastra, is it Prabhuji, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, everyone speaks Shastra so well. Is that they were taught Shastra, Prabhuji, in as a custom?
Yeah, maybe some, I don't know. They probably some kind of Dharma Shastras they do learn. It depends on, who teaches them and whom they come in touch with. You know, if someone like Bali Maharaj is there or Prahlad Maharaj is there, you know, Bali Maharaj got some very nice, good instructions from Bali Maharaj. But it's not necessary that they may learn from some kind of non-theistic Arthashastra, Dharma, you know, like that. Not so much of Dharma Shastra also probably. Maybe some Arthashastra, how one can gain wealth, some military science and archery and things like that. They may learn.
Prabhuji, here he speaks Sankhya, no, Prabhuji, that every time when I read the shloka, I am getting bewildered because the way he explains, like, it's a reflection of the tree, reflection in water, only the water moves, or the tree looks like moving. It's a high philosophy, no, Prabhuji. Even we don't, even I don't understand properly, Prabhuji, though we follow Shastra. So these things are not ordinary philosophy.
Yeah, if you can believe that Hiranyakashipu, by the movement of his eyebrows, could control this whole universe, then we can also believe that he is quoting it, but still does not believe it.
Yeah, certain things are still gray areas in my understanding. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Sugakar Krishna.
Prabhuji, Hiranyakashipu, they are all actually Jaya Vijaya. So it's just for a pastime Krishna had brought them. Now they are, Krishna will not fight with non-devotees. So he made the devotee to come down and then rishis gave curse and they came down. When Parikshit Maharaj, such a great family, how can he put snake on? So these are all is the role play Krishna made Arjun to just forget and ask all these questions. That it is not that Moha Kalilam and they are great devotees. So is it a Krishna's way to teach us by making them play this role and we learn? They are not really...
Yeah, in one sense, yes. But it depends on what level we are looking at. In one sense, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Jaya and Vijaya only.
But we are not supposed to hate them. We are not supposed to hate them. No, oh, Ravana, Rama, Mahasam, like that. We cannot do because Krishna, it is Krishna's parshad. I mean, they have been brought.
We don't hate anyone as devotees.
That's true,
devotees
but still sometimes. But the children say, oh, Ravana, Vandachi, like that.
No,
it is there.
That's because of his activities, because of his nature. But as devotees, we don't hate anyone.
Yeah.
We don't hate even the dveshis. Dvishatsu upeksha. We may stay away from them, but we don't hate anyone. So, whether it is Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, we don't hate them. We just, we stay away
from them. So, we are not supposed to tell anything about anybody because these are Krishna's play, we are learning. It's for our learning, these are all done. The Bhagavatam recitation and Bhagavad Gita.
Not all demons are like that. Not all demons are like that. In the case of Hiranyakashipu and the Hiranyaksha, it happens to be like that. Some are actually demons only.
Like Kala, Nemi and all.
Yeah. They are all demons only.
Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Gaurangi Bhatiji, I'm so sorry. Actually, Sanjay Nityananda Prabhu has joined. Sorry for we could not take your question. Maybe next time when Prabhuji comes. Thank you, Prabhu, for patiently, covering up the next 15 minutes. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Very grateful to you. I would like to offer my obeisances to you and all the Vaishnavas assembled on the call. Vancha Kalpataro Bhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhyeva Chapati Dana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindiki Jai Srila Prabhu
Jai.
Please praise Balram Shakti Prabhuji ki jai. We have Vrindavan Parikrama. Please don't leave.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhuji.